This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio, and we listen to them play a live set. You get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes, and of course, to maybe even find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Waxahachie. I'm Megan Aftermath, and I'm here with host Benham Jones at WFUV. Benham, listeners are going to hear something a little bit different today. You got the chance to chat to Katie after her Beacon Theater show back in August, and you actually went to go see the show, which you guys talk a lot about. What was it like to finally see her perform in person after being a longtime fan?
I mean, it was such a treat. And I didn't just catch the show. I got to see the sound check as well, which was much earlier in the day. And that was a very intimate crowd in, you know, the giant space of the Beacon. But there were just a few people there for sound check. So then when I showed up that evening for a sold out show at the Beacon, on which I sat in the literal last row, the very last row, it was a cool contrast and fun to see the band and Katie switch from this kind of like casual sound checking mode into, you know, they're on their way to becoming legendary creatures. And honestly, in terms of the music, you know, when I think of Waxahachie as an indie artist, as a southern artist, at times kind of getting into experimental music with a little bit of the production when it's a little bit more lo-fi and stuff. But seeing it live, and especially her voice, which is just, it is not hyperbolic to say it is pitch perfect, that she just goes for these notes and it's just right there. But to see it live, I started to understand the pop music influences that really are present. And it makes sense when I think about, you know, her and I are about the same age. So there's a certain kind of brand of 90s pop music that is often guitar based, and kind of it's like where folk and pop started to intersect in the 90s that you couldn't escape.
Right.
You know, from like 1993 to 1999. Really. So I got to see those influences draw forth. And honestly, it was just really powerful. She played the guitar a little bit, but then she lost the guitar and was just like in full front woman mode. And that was also very cool to see. Yeah, it was just a great show. I'd been waiting a while to catch her. I'd tried in the past. So this was a real treat. And I brought a friend with me who had never heard her music before. And it was fun to just watch as the change came over my friend Maria.
Yeah.
Especially as the band warmed up.
Sin on the off-chain sign, bunch of inner bulls, I begging for peace of mind.
Live from the Beacon Theater, that's Waxahachie from her latest record, the tune Right Back to It.
I caught the show last night.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was my first time seeing you live, but I've been a longtime appreciator. How are you feeling after the show?
Good. You know, like the big New York show is always a little funny because it's just you put pressure on it, you put pressure on yourself, and then it just kind of happens. And in a way, it's like any other show, but it's also really special. It's just kind of like a bunch of emotions. But yeah, it was good. I feel good about it. I'm glad it's done. And it's kind of fun to be, we're like, you know, in Western Mass, kind of in the middle of nowhere right now, which is really, it's a nice little change of pace.
Any particular favorite moments last night, reflecting on it? Or do they, does the whole road kind of start to blend?
It blends a little, but you know, it's cool to kind of come off stage. Like the band is really alive, and you know, in some ways we have like our moves that we do every night, but in a lot of ways it feels kind of new every night. Even the little like moves that we do every night feel new in their own way, depending on the energy in the room and stuff like that. So every night I come off stage and I'm like, oh, that was a really good like crowbar tonight or something. You know what I mean? Like it's always, every set has its own moments that are kind of special. But yeah, I feel like the second half of the set, like I really was settled into it. I almost feel like I'm an athlete. Like the set, you know, the set, we really got it together in the second half. The first half, you know, we didn't play our best. but no, I feel like, I feel like it was really cool, and I really liked playing the new song for everybody. That was cool. So yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I was compelled to write down a lyric from the new song. I was so
good,
so tickled by it. Y'all, I will agree, and this is in no way backhanded, but it was good to see y'all warm up over the course of the set, because once you caught your stride, I brought a friend who was not familiar with your music at all, had not heard a lick of it. And it was cool to see her go through the experience of truly falling in love with your voice and then sort of freaking out by the end.
I love that. It's an acquired taste. You gotta hear it for a while.
And then I don't know if your voice, you know, I don't know if your voice is an acquired taste. It may be quite perfect, actually. Can you tell me a little bit about the band that you're playing with? Is it the band you made the record with?
Yes and no. The band I'm playing with right now is so great. So Spencer Tweedy is the through line. He played on the record and he's playing in the band live, which is great.
How old is that boy?
He will be 29 this year, I believe.
Oh,
I believe,
man.
He's 28. He's the baby of the band. He's the youngest. Yep. We have one guy in our crew that's 28 and one guy in the band that's 28. And those are the two babies. I'm actually the oldest one in my band right now, which is a first for me. So I'm sort of the elder stateswoman. But we got Spencer, and he kind of, is the connection between the record band and the touring band. Then we have Eliana Athade, who plays bass and sings, and she's been in my band for a little while. She's amazing. And then we have Clay Frankel on electric guitar, and he's also playing some like acoustic guitar in some moments and singing. He's singing a lot of the like MJ Linderman parts from the record.
He's Clay, in the band Twin Peaks too, right?
I was gonna say, Clay was in an amazing band called Twin Peaks. And then also from the band Twin Peaks, Colin Kroom is playing all the stuff kind of in the backstage, right? He's doing dobro, pedal steel, keys, electric guitar. I think he pops in and sings in a couple of moments. He's sort of our Swiss Army knife man. And then last but not least, we have Cole Berggren playing keys and banjo. And he's also kind of a Swiss Army knife. They both kind of play everything.
Yeah, those boys fill it out really nicely. All your good boys. That's what my friend who came with me, she said, look at all her good boys.
They are good boys.
Yeah, do you know the guitars, there's so many. It was actually almost comical how you guys were getting different guitars every song, you know, and it's so much at the forefront of the sound. But when I listened to the last two records, I found myself quite enamored with the keys. I was wondering, do you write with the guitar? Do you write on the keys, or what's that process like?
I write with both. I'm not a strong key player at all, but I play the keys. I mean, I'm more confident on guitar because I've played guitar for so long, but my skill set on both is really similar. I just basically know like all the chords, and then I just kind of go to town, and it's all, when I'm writing songs, it's just kind of about the vocal melody, the top line and that type of thing. But on the last, on the new record, Tiger's Blood, I have Phil Cook playing all the keys, who is truly like one of the great piano players that I've ever met, and that, you know, of our generation. So a lot of the really beautiful piano work and like keys and organ and stuff like that is all Phil.
Yeah, just beautiful stuff. So you had a new song last night that was Much Ado About Nothing. Is that what that was called? So you're clearly writing a little bit on the road. Do you write with the band, or is, like you said, you just focus on the top line? But are you, since you've made the record with this band you're touring with now, are they involved?
No one else besides Spencer worked on the record that's in the band now, but I do like love them and feel so in creatively inspired by them. And basically, Much Ado, the way that came about, there's like a little batch of songs I have that I was recently in Durham just hanging out with Brad Cook and Jake Linderman. And so the three of us like just tracked a bunch of stuff. So we had kind of a like finished version of Much Ado that I showed the band, but then now that song's taken on like this whole new life because we've been playing it live so much. So yeah, I'm in my opinion, I'm so far away from like actually making another record. And in fact, like deep in my soul, I feel like I need to take a break before I write my next like actual album. But I've been having fun writing little songs here and there, and that's kind of what this one feels like. It's just sort of like a fun one-off.
Do you think, I mean, you say you want to take some time off. We're 10 years next year from Ivy Trip, which is how I first heard you. Are you feeling like you're in that the last two records you made is a kind of a whole different era from then? Or do you feel the continuity? And you said you want to take a break. Do you think that it's a new thing coming on next? Just thinking about the whole sort of through line of what you do.
It's so hard because like I've always like thought about legacy and stuff like that. I've always thought about like how what is the through line and how does it all work together? And still like hindsight is 2020 and I'm still kind of figuring out like what I th how I think it all works together or if I think it all works together and if I think that this moment ends with Tiger's Blood or it continues or whatever. I mean, the clearest sort of answer I have is that I definitely think there was before Brad Cook and there's after Brad Cook, as far as like my records go. Obviously, I think I entered a new phase with him.
He came in on St. Cloud.
He came in, we did an EP together. We did the Great Thunder EP together. That was our first thing we did together. But then, yeah, sort of St. Cloud is the first album that we made together where it's like our working dynamic kind of came together.
Bye.
Live from the Beacon Theater, another one from Waxahachie. That is the tune Board.
You mentioned Lucinda last night. Just seeing her at the Beacon a couple of years ago, thinking about, as you said, you mentioned your legacy, but in terms of tradition, you know, I actually, since it was my first time seeing you live, I've always kind of situated you in the space of roots music and Lucinda and Emmylou Harris and this sort of stuff, but catching it live and experiencing the melodies live, I picked up on things that I had not considered before. And I was just wondering where you kind of historically, where you feel you pull from or where you fit in, or just to, I guess it's just a question about music you love and how you think you fit in.
Well, the way that I approach the show versus the way that I approach the albums is a little different. You know, I think that when we're making the records, there's a lot of conversation about people like Lucinda, people like Gillian Welch, more roots-based stuff and like Americana type stuff. This show, I've been really kind of, you know, my biggest inspiration, which also I think is my biggest inspiration as a singer. I'm thinking about like REM in their peak or like Michael Stipe. Like I want the show to feel like exciting, and I have a lot of energy on stage. Like I like moving around, and I like kind of like changing my location up and change, you know, just kind of and really trying to stay in the moment. So yeah, I would say that that's kind of what I'm thinking about. Not like, you know, big corny arena show, like arena rock show or something, but like, you know, like someone like Michael Stipe, who is, you know, he's conjuring something, and he's present in it, in the moment, and it changes night to night, and that type of thing.
Yeah, that certainly comes out, that space of like, you know, finely crafted pop music. It also made me appreciate, I was thinking about some of the pop music songwriter stuff of the early 2000s. And that was, it was especially with the new song. I was like, this, I'm not going to drop any names or anything because I don't want it to seem shady, but it made me appreciate stuff that I had considered sort of like disposable pop when I was growing up more. So it's cool that, I don't know, that's what I was getting a little bit too.
Yeah, that's the thing. That song really, like the best feedback I got about that song is that it sounds like a 90s like teen movie soundtrack song, which I'm like, that's great. That's so fun. We wanted it to feel fun. And it kind of opened up a whole, it, for me and Brad and Jake, like it kind of opened up this new little like corner of what we can do together. And it made us really excited.
No, I was, keep going. Yes, I wrote down, told you to lose my number, and then I called you twice. It made
fun.
Me blush. It made me feel so good. Are you listening to any music you like right now? Anything cool that you could recommend?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Yes, I love the This Is Lorelei album. That's really great. I love this young songwriter who I actually think lives in New York right now, but she is Nashville based, Brennan Wheedle. She's been like dropping all these singles that are really good. I love Sharp Pens out of Chicago. That's some young blood that's coming up that I really like. That the This Is Lorelei album I've been listening to like crazy. I love the new Future Birds album that Brad Cook produced. I have a feature on it. I've been listening to that so much. I've been rinsing that. And I feel like there was one more. I mean, obviously I, like everyone else, I mean, I've had the MJ Linderman album for like 18 months at this point, but I know it backwards and forwards, but I'm just very excited for the world to experience that record and for Jake to have like a big moment. I just feel like it's so deserved. And yeah, I think the world of everything he's doing.
Yeah. I was up at Solid Sound this past year. I actually brought my father, and I was bummed because Wednesday got rained out, and I was really looking forward to catching that set.
Yeah, sure.
What do you do for fun, either on the road or just generally? What is recreation and pleasure for you?
Oh my gosh. Let's see. I love cooking. I love working out. I love clothes. I mean, most people know that about me. So I'm like, when we're on tour, like I'm hitting shops, and I'm like, I'm seeing what the people are doing in town to town as far as like clothes and fashion goes.
The pants were crazy last night.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I've been writing a lot. I love writing my Substack. You know, I like taking pictures. I feel like I live with like a bunch of really cool creative people on a bus. So we're always just like getting into stuff, and yeah, that's That's about it.
Have you seen any music that's sort of taken your breath away?
You know what? I went and saw Nathaniel Rateliff's show a week or two ago. We were on tour and I flew in to go see his show at Red Rocks early. And he's a dear friend of mine. His current like production and everything is amazing. It was just like an amazing show. I would highly recommend anybody go see that.
When do you wrap up? When do you, and is LA is home?
Kansas City is home.
Kansas City is home.
I spend a lot of time in LA. Kind of feels like home too. I wrap up. Gosh, I thought if only I could answer that. I have an Australian tour this year, and then next year we'll hit the road again.
A lot of people ask me what I think about what we're doing at the station and what we should be doing. And for a long time, I have just been pointing to you because I really do think that you are just top of the game. And
Thank you.
just so, thank you so much for sitting down with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sudden drop, I'm a trusted doorstopper, a paperweight taciturn, an enema. I can sit on your shelf like ashes foretell, spirit in hell while the living's right on. Take the shortcut. And I could have caught, I suppose, I'm the thorn on your rose, I'm the emperor's new clothes, and I make it look easier every time. If you'd left it to me, who knows where we would be, reading fortunes for free in someone else's gold mine. Survey my breaker like cheap wine. You let it in sometimes. A floodgate you can pantomime. You let it in sometimes. Every crime of the heart, you rip yourself apart. It's outside your right, provokes every emotion. And it may bewilder a few, it's an unpleasant view. You're an agent, a truth twisted up at the tail end. Yeah, play the villain like a violin. It comes from within.
Live from the Beacon Theater, Waxahachie with another track from her latest record, Tiger's Blood. That was the track Crimes of the Heart. That was Waxahachie on FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Katie for taking the time to talk to us and to Anti Records. Special thanks to MSG Entertainment and the Beacon Theater for providing us with the live songs for the episode. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, who provided additional mixing. Megan Oftermat produced this episode, and our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Benham Jones.